Welcome students to the session of Managerial Economics, and today we will be moving to chapter 14 titled Profit, Its Nature, Significance, Management and Control. This chapter is very interesting because you will be moving ahead with lot of profit theories which have been propounded and discussed by various economists. And as you go ahead with the various theories, keep one thing in mind. We are giving here importance to the fourth factor of production, that is entrepreneur, organization. Out of the four factors of production, land, labor, capital and entrepreneur, economists believe that entrepreneur plays a very important role in setting up the business and organizing the business along with carrying forward the entire business. There are various functions which an entrepreneur performs, and it is due to those functions performed by an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur has full right over profits. So let's begin with this chapter and understand what profit is and what are the various theories of profit. We say profit is the reward which goes to the organization as a factor of production for its participation in the process of production. Resources are scarce. This is one of the fundamental facts of economics. And whenever the resource is allocated for a particular use, definitely its alternative use is foregone. You learn this in opportunity cost. An entrepreneur, an individual who sets up one's own business, is definitely paying many opportunity costs. Using one's time, one's energy, one's money, ample of resources in the business to set up the business are many opportunity costs which are borne by an entrepreneur. And therefore we say profit is a reward which goes to the organization or the entrepreneur as a factor of production for participating in the process of production. Another concept of profit is, it is a residual income left after contractual rewards to the other factors of production. In this concept, we are trying to highlight the role of various other factors of production which are combined with the entrepreneur for making the production process successful. We say that land, labor, capital are organized together by the entrepreneur, and when they are being used in the production process, they all have to be given a reward. Rent is the reward for land. Wages and salaries are the reward for labor. Interest is the reward for capital. And when all these rewards are made, they are entered as cost, explicit cost of production. The entry goes into the books of account on the salaries and wages that are being paid, the rent that is being incurred, and the interest that is being paid. You minus all this from the revenue, and if there is any amount which is left, residual income, it is the remaining amount after making all these compulsory payments and contributions from the total revenue. So it is a residual income left after the contractual rewards. And if there is any reward, any residual or remaining income left, then we say that is profit. Let us look at the third concept. Unlike other rewards, profits will arise only after the product is sold. Rent, wages, salary, capital, these are all expenses which are incurred at the time of production. In fact, before the product is manufactured. But profit is a reward which can be calculated and which can be which arises only after the product is being sold. Because only when you earn revenue, from that revenue you minus the cost. and then you earn profit. So profits go on fluctuating. Sometimes profit can become negative also, which means loss. So these are the various concepts of profit. We finalize one thing about this, that yes, profit is a reward which goes to organization as a factor of production. Profit keeps on fluctuating. Profit is a residual income. Profit can be calculated, or profit arises only after the product is sold, and profit can be negative also. Let's move ahead to the various theories of profit, and we begin with the very first theory titled Profit as Accounting Surplus. In this theory, we are purely looking at profit from the accounting sense. In accounting sense, there are two ways of calculating profit, or there are two concepts of profit: gross profit and net profit. How is gross profit calculated? Total revenue minus explicit cost, which means in cost we are only taking into consideration all those costs which are entered in the books of account. Actual cost, money cost. So when from total revenue we minus the explicit cost, we derive gross profit. But what if from the gross profit I minus the depreciation and the tax? When from the gross profit we minus the depreciation and the tax, we derive net profit. So in accounting concept, profit is always calculated in terms of gross profit and net profit. In accounting concept, the implicit cost is totally ignored, because implicit cost is the opportunity cost. Implicit cost is the economic cost, and there is no weightage given to economic cost in the accounting language. Therefore, the role of implicit cost is being ignored. But economists, when they calculate profit, they say economic profit is when from the total revenue we minus the implicit cost along with explicit cost. So total revenue minus explicit and implicit cost together will derive economic profit. However, in this theory, we are purely looking at profit as an accounting surplus measured in terms of gross profit and net profit. Let us look at the second theory. This theory is titled as profit as a cost for supply of enterprise. Now, this theory is comparing profit to a cost. It says that entrepreneur or setting up businesses is not free of cost. There are many sacrifices which are made, which I was discussing with you. And we are here purely talking of opportunity cost. The theory says an entrepreneur has to be attracted towards setting up business. An entrepreneur is attracted to supply his land, capital, labor, enterprise only and only if he can see profit as a reward. An entrepreneur takes the maximum risk. He sacrifices various things, and when he is sacrificing all his own resources, he is in fact using his cell phone resources in the business, then definitely to attract the entrepreneurs in the business, minimum level of profit or maximum level of profit should be attained. That part of profit which induces him to supply these is normal profit. So as long as the entrepreneurs can see profit as a reward attained for investing their time, money, capital in the business, they will be encouraged to set up businesses. No doubt, India is a developing country and there are fundamental changes that are taking place, but what is happening is that here we still lack in entrepreneurial skill. We are still lacking in the supply of required entrepreneurial talent. Whereas if you go to countries like Japan and China, you will find n number of micro enterprises set up in China. That's because of the entrepreneurial skill. Any small businesses set up by the individual entrepreneur, and they are able to derive the profit margins from their business. So students, you have to remember that in this theory, we are purely focusing on what role profit has in encouraging the supply of enterprise. Higher the profit, more will be the number of enterprises setting up in the market. The third theory of profit is titled as profit as rent of ability, which is given by Walker. According to Walker, rent arises due to differences in fertility of land. Like how rent arises due to differences in fertility of land, profit arises due to differences in ability of entrepreneur. Now, this theory is actually a theory which Walker has written after being impressed by the theory on land. This theory of land was given by David Ricardo. In the theory, David Ricardo has given reasons why different lands earn different rent. David Ricardo has differentiated between the most fertile land and the least fertile land. And he has said that the land which is the most fertile will fetch highest rent as compared to the least fertile land. Now, Walker was very impressed by this theory. He used the same concept of the theory of rent of David Ricardo. And the only difference he made was, instead of the word land, he used the word entrepreneur. And instead of rent, he used the word profit. He says that as rent differs based on the differences in fertility of land, same way profit will differ based on the differences in ability of entrepreneur. So see, fertility of land is compared to the ability of entrepreneur. As entrepreneurs differ in ability, the entrepreneur who is more capable will definitely earn higher profit in business. So even if we have 10 entrepreneurs passing out from the same business school, but ultimately who will be successful? The entrepreneur who is more capable, who is having more skill, more talent. So that is what this theory is focusing on. It is purely giving importance to the ability of entrepreneurs. And this theory has been criticized. There are various points on which the theory is criticized. Let's look at that. The theory says, like profit, rent cannot be negative. First of all, profit can be negative, but rent can never be negative. Either there will be no rent or there will be higher and lower rent. But we'll never have a case where the land has no rent. Profit can arise out of other factors also. What is the guarantee that the entrepreneur who is earning maximum profit is having high ability? Because if the entrepreneur is a single seller, monopoly, then even if there is not much of ability, because there is no competition, the monopolist will continue enjoying profits. There can be no rent land, but one cannot find no profit entrepreneur. Now, this is very well, compared. Since Walker's theory was based on David Ricardo's theory of rent, the critic said, there are situations where you have a land with no rent, but you will never find a situation where there is an entrepreneur with no profit. Because the day the entrepreneur earns no profit, the business will close down. Shareholders earn dividends. Now, Walker has not at all mentioned about the role of shareholders and how dividend gets divided among the shareholders. Well, now we will move on to the next theory. This theory is titled as Profit as a Dynamic Surplus, given by J.B. Clark. Now, J.B. Clark is giving importance to the dynamic changes that are taking place in a society. He says that if there are no changes in society, nothing is changing around you, then there will be no competition, there will be no motivation, there will be no challenges. And if there are no challenges in life, there will be no rewards earned. So he is trying to talk about a society. He is comparing two types of society. One, society which is static, and second, society which is dynamic. If the society is static, static ka matlab hai, where there are no changes, absolutely nothing is changing, then there is no point of doing any new business and there will be no chance of profits. So he says, there can be no profit if the society was static. Price will always be equal to cost. Demand and supply will remain constant. Production will be made in a same manner, continuous manner. And there will be no forecasting, no anticipation of demand, because there will be no fluctuations. The problem will arise when there are dynamic changes. Now, what is important for us to remember, which dynamic changes is J.B. Clark talking about? According to J.B. Clark, dynamic conditions are changes in the size of population and capital, changes in production technique, industrial organizations, human wants. These are all the dynamic changes. When they change, the business changes. In fact, an entrepreneur always have to keep on predicting what would be the likable changes in the future and accordingly setting up their production plans. So that entrepreneur or those entrepreneurs who are able to bring innovations, who are able to make profit in spite of dynamic changes, are the true winners of business. Now we move on to the next theory, titled as profit as a reward for risk bearing or risk avoiding. You bear the risk. If you are bearing the risk, you are avoiding the risk. Or are they two different things? Let us understand what this economist F.B. Hawley has to say. According to him, profit is a reward for risk bearing in the process of production. Only if you are able to handle risk, you are able to work in business and get the true benefits of running the business. I mean, if there are no risk in life, there are no risk in business, there will be no fun, and there will be no, you can not truly enjoy the fruits of your effort and the profits that you are going to enjoy at the end of the day. So F.B. Hawley is saying that entrepreneur performs the most important role of risk taking. I mean, there are lakhs of people who are going to office every morning, handling the office responsibilities, whatever is delegated to them, completing the work in a day, going back home, earning a pay package. What's the difference between people who are earning their bread and butter and people who are slogging a little more and trying to get more of the the profits or more of the money earned? The difference lies in the risk taking ability. Every person is not capable of taking risk. So therefore, this is a special quality which an entrepreneur has. In fact, the risk taking capability that a person has makes the person become an entrepreneur. So F.B. Hawley is focusing a lot on the risk bearing, risk taking ability, and he believes if the day a person stops taking risk, the entrepreneur in him dies. So risk taking capability is highlighted in his theory. However, even his theory has been criticized, and the critics say two things. One, profits are not proportionate to risk. How can you measure kitna percent risk a entrepreneur is taking and how much percent profit the entrepreneur is sharing? There is no way of quantifying the risk handled, the proportionate risk handled, and accordingly the profits taken. Profits arise as entrepreneur avoids risk in completing production. Now the critic is a little confused. He is saying entrepreneur is avoiding risk and therefore taking profit. How can the word risk avoiding and risk bearing is simultaneously used by F.B. Hawley? Because risk avoiding is not taking the risk and risk bearing is handling the risk. So there's a little confusion between the both terms used by F.B. Hawley in this theory. We move on to the next theory, which is titled as profit as reward for uncertainty bearing. Profit is a reward for uncertainty bearing. This theory has been given by Frank Knight. Now, Frank Knight is one of the critic, okay, of the previous theory, F.B. Hallay. He understood that F.B. Hallay's theory is not complete because he has only focused on risk bearing. But which risk? So, he has highlighted two types of risk. One, insurable risk, and the other, non-insurable risk. He says that it is the non-insurable risk which an entrepreneur handles, and only because of the non-insurable risk an entrepreneur earns profit. The insurable risk he believes are measurable, and we have insurance companies who cover these risks. A premium is being paid to the companies. But it is the non-insurable risk which are the most dangerous, unpredictable and indeterminate. And the whole responsibility of handling these risks lies with the entrepreneur. So the entrepreneur earns profit because of the non-insurable risk that he handles. What are the non-insurable risks which he has focused on? Competition, technology, business cycle, etc. That etc. is that looking at the current situation, we can keep adding the number of non-insurable risks which keep arising in the society. Government policies, changing consumer taste, preferences are all the type of risk which an entrepreneur has to handle. There are no criticisms for his theory because he has actually completed the theory of F.B. Hallay. Now we move on to the next theory, which is known as profit as reward for innovation, a very popular theory given by Joseph Schumpeter. Joseph Schumpeter has highlighted the most important function of an entrepreneur, that is carrying of innovations. He believes that it's only because of the multiple innovations, new innovations, that the entrepreneur continuously keeps on enjoying profits. Now, what are innovations? New products, new method of production, new markets, new source of raw material, or new organization. Joseph Schumpeter has highlighted all these categories into innovation. He believes that these five types of innovations, if they are taking place, the entrepreneur will continuously keep on enjoying profits. So therefore, innovation is one of the factors leading to profits. And finally, the last theory is profit as a monopoly return. If you want to continuously enjoy profit in business, then become a monopolist. A monopolist has various ways of enjoying profit. One, monopolists can restrict output, purposely create an artificial scarcity so that the demand increases and then they can increase the price. It can be done by companies who are the sole sellers of certain products. A monopolist can sell large quantities at higher price. You have learnt about something called as monopolist being a price maker. So monopolist can differentiate between markets and accordingly decide where to sell the product at a higher price. He pays below average price to other factors of production and lowers his cost. Being a single company, it can negotiate and pay less price to the factors. Here we are focusing about a capitalist nature where capitalists will always pay less price to the factors of production called as exploitation. A monopolist can take advantage of government regulation, try the government to make policies in their favor. So finally, we come to the conclusion after all these theories that yes, there are various ways for which the company works for profit and various theories in support of how profit is a reward for the organization. We are concluding this chapter by saying that profit is definitely one of the goals of the company, but it has been found that profit maximization goal has to be very carefully planned, because there is a lot of government interference. The moment one company starts maximizing profit, it will definitely be inviting the government's attention. Threat of entry of new firm can be very, very possible. If there is no barriers to entry, it may even spoil the image of the company, because customers will think by exploiting the customers, the company is able to make huge profit. Company has to always keep a balance between the cash they require, the liquidity, the working funds and the profits. They have to always look at the employer-employee relationship. And therefore, even when a company is pursuing its profit maximization goal, there are various things which have to be taken care of when the company is aiming at profit maximization. No doubt, profit acts as an inducement to invest and innovate, because if the companies don't make profit, they will stop innovating and they'll stop reinvesting their money. So profit is a motivator for expanding the business and for carrying out new innovations. It will always be, the manager's salary, the employee's increment, all depends on the profits that the company is able to generate. Decline in profit is a signal of oncoming recession and depression in the market. Therefore, economists and companies are very careful over the statistics of the profit level of companies. The moment the profit level starts falling, it means that the market demand for the company's product is somewhere falling, or the cost of the companies are increasing, and therefore keeping a close watch over the statistical information of the company's profit becomes very important. This is what we mean by profit management and understanding the role of profit. So finally, we come to the conclusion of this chapter, where we started with understanding what profits are, with the various theories of profit, and how managing profit becomes a prime goal of entrepreneurs. Thank you.